television, you listen to the internet, you go on the internet and so on, and you find so much which is not of God. The Bible tells us in these verses, the children of Israel, as they were on their way to the promised land, Moses said, don't forget, make sure you do this. Teach the word of God to your young people, to your families. What does he say? These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You know, you're not going to teach anything unless it's in your heart. And for us who are older and we're parents, we need to have the word of God in our heart. And it says, you love the Lord with all your heart, and you shall, with all your strength, and with all your soul, these words which I teach you, command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. When? When you talk of them, when sit in your house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, it's saying, I want your life to be centered around the word of God. And it's, you know, if there's anything I would change in bringing up my family, is that I would spend more time reading the word of God to them, sharing the word of God to them. You know, sometimes we our grandkids, as they come and stay, so often I take them upstairs to bed and tell them a Bible story. And when some of them are getting, because I'm so old, so some of them are getting in their 20s by now. And that's what they remember. Coming to stay with them, they remember the Bible stories. And, you know, if ever there was a day when you need to do it, to not just, but do it diligently. In other words, do it. If you read the New Living Translation, it says, keep doing it again and again and again. Keep doing it. And we need to keep sharing the word of God with our young people, with our children, day after day, on a methodical, systematic basis, telling them about the word of God. I mean, you look at Islam today. We find them, they're going to prayers 5 times a day, and they've got to learn the Quran and so on. You and I need to make sure our young people know the word of God, don't we? And that is the best, if you're a mom this morning, the best work that you could ever do is for you to see your family grow up and to come to know Jesus and to see them godly men and women for God. You know, we hear about women today. They're getting pushed out and they're not this and they're not, and there's not equality and so on. The greatest work that any mother can do is to bring up a family and bring them to know Jesus. It doesn't matter. So often people talk about, our so-and-so, they're doing this, they're doing that, and they're involved with this sport, and they're involved with this in education, and they're going to this university. That's all good in itself. But if the priority is not the word of God, and teaching them the word of God. And so it is, it should be teaching them. When you get up, when you lie down. In other words, it's a whole way of life. Islam's that. Why, for goodness sake, why shouldn't we be the same way with the word of God? Wouldn't it be good if we were like that? And that's what he's saying. I want you to do it all the time. He says, I want you to have the word of God on your forehead, on your hand. In other words, he's saying, don't be ashamed about having a text or some scripture or a badge with the word of God on. You know, why don't we do it? Have it on your house. It used to be when you went into somebody's house that you saw texts all over the walls. Well, it's all over the walls, but, you know, around the walls. And you saw the 23rd Psalm, and you saw peace be unto you, and so on. We've got Margaret's got a cross stitch, and it says, it's got a rainbow on it, and it says, God keeps his promises. And that's what it's saying. Have them on your doorposts. Have them on your gates. You know, have something that says, we're Christians. Jesus means a lot to us. No. Jesus means everything to us. Isn't it a big difference, isn't it? Jesus can mean something to you. But I tell you, when you start putting stuff around your house and you start talking about it in the morning, when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're going, before you go to bed, it means Jesus means everything to you. And that's how we should be. And I just want to say to you this morning, for moms, for us all, let's get back to the Bible. Let's teach the young people the Bible at home. I mean, it's no good leaving it to the church. It's no good leaving everything to the church. The church isn't there when you get up in the morning. The church isn't there when you go to bed at night. The church isn't there at lunchtime. But your Bible should be there, shouldn't it? Your Bible should be there. And I know with farming, and I know with business and all the rest of it, it's not easy. It's not easy. But the instruction from the Word of God is that we should make it. Now, I want to just go now to the verse that was on the screen, actually. And I want us to look just for a moment about this, a lady, a mother. And it was called the Widow of Nain. Jesus comes to Nain and says, when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. This is Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep, he came. And touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still and said, young man, I say unto you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. This report about him went throughout all Judea and throughout all the region. I want us for a moment to just get our feet on the ground a little bit. It's nice to be talk about Mother's Day and all the nice stuff about it, but at the end of the day, life is hard, and you might have come to church this morning, and you might have come with a broken heart. You might have come distraught because of your family. You might have come because of things that have happened with your family. It may have come that you've lost a loved one not too long ago. And when you talk about Mother's Day, it's not very happy thoughts go through your mind. This widow of Nain, she had lost her husband. And now she lost her only son. And onto the scene comes a man, and his name was Jesus. Can you imagine this? She was following the coffin. Behind Jesus was another crowd that were following him. So you got two people, you got two crowds, one following Jesus, and the others following the coffin. And you know, there are lots of people. If they haven't got Jesus in their life, it's like following a coffin. They're like without God, and they're without hope in this world, aren't they? And God wants to bring you hope this morning. God wants to bring you peace this morning. God wants to bring you his love this morning. And Jesus came and brought a great transformation in this people, in this woman's life. Can you imagine how the bottom had just dropped out? Lost a husband, lost a son. What did she have in life? Absolutely nothing. And then Jesus came. I want to say to you this morning, you need Jesus in your life this morning. I don't care how old you are, and it doesn't really matter how young you are either, because you need Jesus in your life. Our post lady just spoke to Margaret. We'd not spoken to her much before, but Margaret, she said to Margaret, oh, I'm going to up to the islands in Scotland. And Margaret says something to the effect that God will bless you and keep. She said, no, he will. And then she shared with Margaret. She said, I lost my husband and my son in a car accident. And for 8 years, I never went near a church. But she said, now I've come back to God. That hurt in my life. But now I've come back to God. And she said, I just felt as if God was saying to me, it's okay. It's okay. She felt guilty because she'd gone away from God because of the tragedy that had happened in her life. But you know, it was the king of the gypsies at Appleby that Ronnie McCracken comes with a team from Northern Ireland. And he comes and he comes with us and shares the gospel. We go around meeting the gypsies and so on. And he said, I told him where to go. And so he went to the entrance to the gypsy fair. And when they got there, of course they didn't know anybody. And they're talking away. And I talked to Ronnie McCracken and about Billy Welsh and so on. And he said, after a while, he said, tell me, what's your name? He said, I'm Billy Welsh. Oh, what? He said, I've been praying for you. He said, how could you be praying for me? You've never met me before. Ah, he said, a friend told me about you, and I've been praying for you ever since. And Billy looked around and he said, you know, as you look around, you couldn't but believe there's a God, could you? And they talked. And Billy Welsh turned to Ronnie and said, you know, I need God in my life. Ronnie turned to him and said, that's an amazing thing you should say that to me. He said, I go around preaching all over the place, and I'm always saying to people, you need God in your life. But he said, there's not many people say to me, I need God in my life. He said, can I ask you a question? When do you need God in your life? And Billy Welsh thought for a moment, and there was silence. And then he said, I guess I need God in my life now. And Ronnie said, that's amazing. And they prayed together. And he asked Jesus into his heart and into his life. So that's the king of the gypsies at Appleby. So you need God in your life. If the king of the gypsies needs God, and he recognizes that he needs God, surely you need God in your life. You know, it's possible to come to church. You might have church in your life. You might have church as part of your life. But is God in your life? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you asked him by his Spirit to come into your life? You say to me, but John, why do I need God in my life? But why? Do you know why you need God in your life? Because you've got a past. Because you've got a past. When you look at me, you think he's got a long past, hasn't it? You, some of you young people, you might look and think, I haven't got a long past. But whatever your past is, the Bible says that God requires that which is past. In other words, God is going to make you accountable for what you've done in the past. The things that you wouldn't dare tell the person sitting next to you this morning. The things that you certainly wouldn't tell your mom. You wouldn't want them to know. But the Bible says God requires that which is past. I remember talking to a group of gypsies one day. You must think I live with the gypsies, don't you? No. they say in the village, oh, John loves the gypsies. Well, I suppose I do love the gypsies, you know. I always love what they do, but never mind. And I remember the group of them, and they were talking about the Bible, actually, talking about Christian stuff, and sitting around the fire, about 15 of them. And they're talking to me. And then one of them comes to me, and he says, John, come here. I said, where are you taking me now? So he takes me away across, a bit away from the others. He said, I just want to tell you. He said, I've done some terrible things in my life. And he said, I wouldn't want any of them to hear what I was going to say. In other words, he'd been into crime, and he's at the point of murdering somebody. Just terrible stuff. And he said, telling me all this. In other words, he's saying, I've got an awful past. You know what I said to him? I said, Warren, just imagine this, that God could clean the slate. God could forgive all your past. Your sins and iniquities, he can remember no more, and they're all gone. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from some sin, all sin. Isn't it amazing? That's why we should be happy when we're singing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Why? Because he's forgiven me. My past is gone. And you know what the Pharisee said? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I tell you, you can't get forgiveness anywhere else. You won't find it anywhere else. You won't find it in the mosque. Doesn't matter where you went in the world, in the Hindu religion. In fact, you wouldn't find it in churchianity. The priest can't forgive your sins. The Pope can't forgive your sins. And I certainly can't forgive your sins. Jesus died on the cross for you. Isn't it amazing? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if you come this morning and you need Jesus, why do you need Jesus? Because you've got a past. Because you've got a past. We've all got a past. And God wants to cleanse you from it all. He wants you to start again. You know, when you talk about being born again, a baby hasn't got a past, does it? It's when a baby's born, it's brand new. That's what God wants to do with you. He wants you, make you brand new. Start from the beginning. Born again. Start again. And only God can do that. He doesn't just forgive. The Bible says he justifies. That's a biblical word. But it really means just as if you never sinned. In other words, as if you never had a dirty mark. Sometimes you try and clean things on a carpet or whatever. And you can, if you know where you've cleaned it, and you can look, say, it's not so bad, but I can still see where the mark is, eh? But when God cleans, he cleans right to the very roots. He forgives everything. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But you need God because you've got a present, don't you? You need God because you've got a moment today. Because you're here today. And you, in your situation today, you need Jesus. You need a friend today. And you want somebody. I know it's great to have a mum. And mums are so good. And you can trust mum. Mum will be there when nobody else will. But I tell you, the Bible says Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He wants to be your shepherd. The Bible uses all these illustrations. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd's somebody that cares. You need somebody to care for you today. Not only forgive your yesterdays, but you want his presence with you today and to guide you. The clocks at Crown Lane go very fast. I don't know where it is, but Yeah, well, somebody says when he's speaking, he has a calendar, he don't have a clock. But really, I just want to say to you this morning, you need Jesus because you've got a, can you remember? Because you've got a past. You need Jesus at this moment because you need a friend. You need a guide. You need a shepherd. But you need Jesus on Mother's Day, 2018, because you've got a tomorrow. Because you've got a tomorrow. Because you've got a future. What a wonderful thing to put your hand in the hand of Jesus and walk through life with him from now on. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Because, and just to know that he's going to walk down the road of life with you. Wouldn't that be so amazing and so wonderful? The one who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you while you're here. But the one who says to the Christian, for tomorrow, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to have Jesus? Jesus, he's so personal, isn't he? Jesus is saying, I have gone to prepare a place for you. He looks you in the eye and says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So because we've got a future, we need Jesus. You know, there's a verse in Revelation that says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know, each one of us will stand before Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, knowing that he's forgiven all our past, knowing he's taken the punishment for all our sins, and he's guided us and kept us through life. All. We will stand before him as our judge, and we will give an account, and we will be cast away from the presence of God forever. We need Jesus because we have a past, we have a present, but we have a tomorrow. What about your tomorrow? You know, somebody said, if you're ready to die, you're ready to live. Is that right? If you're ready to die, you're ready to live. If you've got Jesus, you've got more wealth in your soul than acres of diamonds. Or what? Mountains of gold. Have you got Jesus this morning? Have you got him? It's Mother's Day. Have you got a mum? I tell you, dare I say it? You're better having Jesus than having a mum. Because, you see, you know when it says in Psalm 23, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You can't take your mum with you, can you? You can't take your best friend with you. But Jesus says, I'll go with you. He's the one that can go with you into eternity. Isn't it exciting being a Christian? Isn't it reassuring being a Christian? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And that's why we sang, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. So just as I close, because time has gone. Just as I close, would you say this morning, I need Jesus in my life? Would you say like the Billy Welsh, would you be brave enough to say that? Not many people say that. Just be honest with yourself. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, you need Jesus in your life. And as Billy Welsh said, when do you need it? Now. You need Jesus now. to deal with your past, to be with you today, and take you into eternity. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? There's a hymn that we're going to sing. And it is, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. I would like you this morning, if you've been away from God, maybe like the post lady, maybe something traumatic's happened in your life and you've left God.